Hello, everybody. My name's Layla, and in this podcast, we talk about the spooky stuff that bumps in the night, such as serial killers. So let's get right into it. In this episode, we'll be talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, who did a lot of interesting things with his victims, but it's quite interesting. I learned a few things from this that I didn't even know before, so we're going to get right into it. Dahmer was born in Wisconsin on May 21st, 1960. He was described as energetic and happy when he was four, but he had a surgery to correct his double hernia, and it seemed to affect him in a very strange way. His father and him, as a weird father-son activity, would bleach the connective tissue and hair off rodents that they would find under the house. So, at first you might be thinking, like, wow, that sounds so weird. But Dahmer's father, Lionel, I think that's how you pronounce his name, was a research chemist. So, this was all in, like, for science and everything. He just loved science. So, they got this little, what is it called? The baby rattler? I think that, yeah, a rattle. And they would put the bones of these animals that they would find and bleach the tissue off of, and they would call it a fiddlestick. Which, I mean, I guess they just found it cute at first, but who knows it was going to lead to what this is. So, Joyce Dahmer was the mother, and she suffered from depression and attempted suicide many times, but, you know, it didn't work. So, his father was too busy to work with him, and he was very absent. So, Jeffrey didn't have the best parents in the world, which kind of brings up the debate that people have about this, which is like, well, is this all, like, genetic, or is it because of the upbringing that he's had? So, his brother was born when he was 5 years old, and he was a very competitive child, and he wanted attention, but his parents weren't available for him. So, Joyce and David, he fought for their relationship and everything, and it ended in a huge, messy divorce. And at 13, he tried to actualize a kill because at this time, when he's getting older, he starts daydreaming of killing and having sex with corpses. And these daydreams took up 2/3 of his day. He had this weird feeling for this male jogger that he would find in his neighborhood. And he would hide near the jogger's, like, route and everything. And he had a baseball bat, but he wasn't there. So he tracked down this guy's route every morning where he would run. And he would just wait for the perfect time to actualize a kill. Okay, so I decided to do the rest of this podcast at home because at school it's clearly too loud. But I'm not going to remake the first segment because I'm too lazy and my dog's here. So that should be fun. Anywho, in this segment we're going to be talking about Jeffrey Dahmer's lifetime, what he did, murders, stuff like that. I was also told that he tried to keep one of his one of his victims, and he drilled a hole into his head, and he poured acid in it, so he could, like, mummify him, or, like, keep him in, like, a zombie-like state. I don't know. In conclusion, didn't work. But I didn't add that in. I thought it was really interesting. Anywho, we're gonna continue back to what I wrote down. So, Dahmer's first murder occurred just after high school. June 1978, he picked up a hitchhiker named Stephen Hicks. He took him to his parents' house where he got the man drunk. So, after that, when Hick attempted to leave, Dahmer killed him by striking him on the head and strangling him with a barbell. He dismembered the corpse, packed the body parts in plastic bags, and buried them behind his parents' home. The remains were crushed with a sledgehammer, and they were scattered across a wooden ravine. So, September 1987... when Dahmer's second victim took place, his name was Stephen Toomey? I don't know how to pronounce it. So he took him into a hotel room and they drank. And then when Jeffrey woke up, he had no memory of the previous night. He just woke up and he was dead. And he was like, okay. So he took the body over to his grandma's basement and he engaged in sexual activity with the body. Now, the crazy part is that Dahmer's grandma didn't know anything that he was doing. She didn't know that he was killing people and yada, yada, yada. All she knew was that he kept coming home late and drunk, and she was getting tired of it. So she made him move out in 1988. There's a super loud airplane. In 1988, whoa, in 1989, Dahmer had charges against him for sexual exploitation and a second-degree assault within him with a 13-year-old boy. So, what happened with this story was there was this 13-year-old kid, and he was this, I don't know, he was a little Asian kid, and he got out of the house and he ran away, and he was naked, and he couldn't speak. And this lady called the police, and she's like, yeah, there's a kid out here. So the police go there, and they try to listen to what he's saying, but they couldn't understand what he's saying. And Dahmer comes out, and he's like, don't worry, this is my 19-year-old lover. He's just really drunk. And so they were like, okay. They took him back to the place. They looked around a little bit briefly, because if they actually did a full inspection, they would see that he had bodies in the house. So they did a quick search. I can see my cat looking at me through the window. They did a quick search, and they didn't find the bodies. And then they left, and then he killed him. And it was terrible. So in 1989, while he was awaiting his sentencing for that case, he lured, drugged, strangled, sodomized, I don't know how to pronounce that either, photographed, dismembered, and disposed of Anthony Sears, an aspiring model. So in this segment of the podcast, we're going to be talking about Jeffrey Dahmer's court cases and his life after being out in the wild. But at first when I was researching this, I didn't think this topic was going to be that interesting because, I mean, it's just about his court cases. Like, what is he doing? We know what he did. So what are his charges even going to be for? Well, I found it interesting because most of his victims, 11 out of the 17 victims, were black. And the victims' families who were associated with this man, they were like, well, he's racist. Like, he's not actually into black people. He's just racist. But his lawyer was like, no, that's just what he likes. It's just a sexual preference. But it's still, like, a debate going on. Janetta Robinson, she was saying that the law says that you should be tried by a jury of your peers. A jury of your peers. And who did this man go to bed with and eat up? There should be at least half blacks and gays on that jury. And I thought that was super interesting, because when you think about Jeffrey Dahmer, like, you don't think about how he also has the right to a jury of his peers. You don't think about, like, the victims that are already dead, you know? Like, it's just, you see him as this disgusting thing, like a cannibal, but he also has that right, and he was a gay guy, and his victims were black and gay, and it was just, I don't know, I thought that was interesting. Okay, super loud airplane coming. So, Arthur Heitzer, not sure if I pronounced that right, he was a civil rights lawyer, and he said that blacks tend to be underrepresented on juries because they're less likely to be registered voters, depending on where they're living, and more likely to have moved to a new address. Wow, that's a super loud motorcycle. So, he was talking about how blacks are, they move around a lot, or like the areas that they live in may not be suitable for, you know, being on court cases and whatnot. So, they're underrepresented in courts. And I thought that was interesting, because it shows an imbalance. But it's ironic, because those were his victims, so it's like, there was this man, and his name was Christopher Scarver. He was the man who killed Jeffrey Dahmer, which, I mean, murderer gets murdered. Kinda deserved it. So, he also killed another man, but they didn't really, from what I was looking up, they didn't really say what he did. So, he was talking about how Jeffrey Dahmer had this weird sense of humor. Like, he would get food and he'd cover it in ketchup and he'd be like, look at the limb, and then he'd eat it, and then people would be like, that's weird. Or, he would look at, like, a guard and he'd be like, I bite, or something, and just, he would laugh at it. And people were saying it was just his morbid way to deal with his hopeless situation. Well, Scarver killed him on November 28th of 1994, which was my mom's 14th birthday. So, he killed Dahmer and he killed Jesse Anderson. And they were unsupervised on a work detail. And he went in there and he was like, is that true? Like, did you actually kill all those people, and you had sexual engagement with their bodies, and the kids and everything, and Jeffrey Dahmer, he was like, yeah, I did that. So, Scarver said that he hit Dahmer twice in the head with a metal bar from a weight room, and then he killed Anderson, who was in a different area of the room. Now, I might have to do more research about what Anderson did, but I thought that was really interesting. Like, he just goes in there, and he's like, bam, you're dead. And kind of ironic, murder gets murdered. This concludes our episode about Jeffrey Dahmer. Thank you so much for listening.
That's all, folks. Don't get murdered.
Damn.